Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Over the Rainbow Show with your host, Bob Brown, on Friday, the 24th of June, 2016, at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 o'clock Pacific Time, and 8 p.m. UK Time. And to all our listeners from around the world, the number to ring the show is 347-539-5367. I'm from the UK. 001-347-539-5367, and the chat room is open. Well, just a couple of things that I need to mention before the show starts. A good friend of mine, we call him Paul Sinclair, he's just got a book out now called The Truth That Leaves No Proof. It's all about the Northeast Coast of the UK, where I live. There's mysteries, there's all different sorts of creatures and aeroplanes going missing, and it's a good read. It's out on Amazon now. I think it's about $7.99 or something like that. And the next thing is, I finally got a date to go in and get my knee done. So I'm going in on the 19th of July. I think it's a Tuesday, the 19th of July, so I'll be laid up for 6 weeks, but hopefully I might just miss one show. So going Tuesday, I'll come home on Wednesday, so I might not feel too good for the Wednesday show. But I should be back to normal on the Friday, all being well. Well, I've got a treat tonight. A couple of good friends of mine are on the show tonight. It's Mark and Phyllis Brinkenhoff. Mark is a ET contactee who is often able to photograph UFOs as they morph into and out of our visible spectrum. He's a conscious channel in touch with benevolent ETs who are interested in our spiritual and planetary evolution. The ETs are a faster frequency than us and have no need, any resources from this or any planet in the universe. Can we please welcome Mark and Phyllis to the show? Hello!
Hi, Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hello,
hi,
you two.
Hi, guests and everyone in the planet, on the planet, around the planet.
It's so nice to have you back on the show again, both of you. It's always a pleasure, and we always have lots of fun.
Oh, we love you, man. We have a great time when we're with you.
Oh, that's so nice, Mark. And Phyllis as well. She's wonderful as well as Phyllis. Right, on tonight's show, we're going to talk about a little bit about ETs, and then we're going to talk about the Mandela Effect, alternative memories and alternative realities. Can you just give us a bit of insight into that, Mark?
Well, just a little, because I've had my own experiences. They're calling this the Mandela Effect now, I guess, after the Nelson Mandela. People have had memories of him maybe dying in prison years ago, and now he died, let's say, you know, a few years ago when he was out of prison. So there's different things that people have remembered. And I guess the woman who created the web pages, I guess, for this information was, I forgot her name, Fiona Broom. And
yeah.
She and another person seem to have coined the same idea when they were speaking about it. So they created they called it the Mandela Effect, that, you know, different memories and different times, things that affect people differently. I've had my own experiences where not just memories, but actual walking through or being in different places, say different dimensional space, where you witness something that shouldn't be there. And it happened to me as a kid. I was in upstate New York, where we used to have a railroad track going through our town. And in those days, right now it's a footpath, but in those days, in the 50s, it was still being used as a train track for, let's say, cargo, you know, things going from like New York City to Brewster, New York, or upstate New York, people would know, Carmel.
Yes. Yeah.
And it used to just be, you know, just the big box cars, or a few box cars, and the diesel train.
The diesel train,
the big diesel. Well, one day, and this was not far from my house. I could just walk down the hill and walk to a path, and there by the woods is the train track next to the road, which was Route 6 upstate New York. And then I'd walk over that road to the lake, which is Lake Mahopac. Well, I was about, I'll say 7 years old, and I could go down there. There was nobody to hurt you. It's not that kind of, not today, like today. So I was standing there. I heard the train coming, so I wait, and the train that comes by is a train from the 1800s, the kind that you see with a coal car and the man shoveling coal and a steam coming out with the noise and the man, the captain or the engineer with the hat, like the striped old hat from the 1800s or something.
Yes.
And he's leaning outside the window, and I'm just looking at this train going by that I recognize from the old movies or old pictures. And the man is looking at me with his eyes wide, like, what? His face is wide. I'm just like, whoa, you know, because this is cool. Those giant, what are those things? The wheels, when they're turning with those giant metal things connecting them, you know, this whole thing is going on.
Yes.
And the cars that are going by are still freight cars, but I can't remember the names of them. There were freight cars. And then the last thing was the red caboose. The little red caboose everybody sees on an old-timey movie or something. And there was a guy in the back of the red caboose, you know, sitting on a chair or something. And he had, like, a pipe, but it was a long pipe, had a stick to it, a long stick. So they're going by, and I'm waving, and they're waving to me. They go around the corner. We had a little – I mean, there was a curve that would curve to my, let's say, right – and it would still be woods.
Right.
It curves, and I don't hear the train going anymore. All I heard was a the noise of a train coming, clang, 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 clang. So I knew there was a train. There was no woo, woo, none of that going on. But, again, seeing this black, thick, heavy metal train from the 1800s, when I described it to my father, because he loved trains. He was one of those kind of guys. He also worked at the Penn Station as an accountant, but down here in New York. But when I described the train, he said, that can't be possible. That train doesn't really exist anymore. We have diesels. I know the diesels because I would see them all the time. But that happened to me. And I'm telling you, it was as real as can be because you could smell it. You could smell the steam. The steam was poofing out. There was poofs of smoke going up. And the funniest thing is when it left, everything beyond it, like if you looked past it to the road, looked like the normal road. But we didn't have a lot of car traffic in those days. So I remember thinking, well, that was weird. And I thought, oh, maybe it was used somewhere. Maybe they had some kind of thing going on. But no, that didn't happen at all. The trains only were used by those diesels from the late 50s or early 60s.
Yes.
And then they stopped using them altogether in the mid-60s, as far as I remember now. You know, that was it. I never saw them again. And the train tracks became obsolete, and then they became footpaths.
How did you, Mark? How did you feel at the time after you'd seen that?
It was exciting.
That's strange.
I felt fine. But I got to tell you, there's a weird experience that occurs that I've noticed with the space connections when I've been, let's say, teleported or when they've shown up. There's a silence that comes around, like a strange buffer, a feeling of an energy. As a kid, I remembered only feeling and hearing the sound of that train in front of me. No cars, no sounds of cars or anything. And watching this amazing train go by. And even as it was happening, you got the feeling something's fishy, but you couldn't put your finger or mind on it. You know, you just get a vibe there's something off. And I remember when it happened, when it left, I didn't cross the tracks right away. I actually backed up and went back up my path, which had a little stream near it, which is interesting because the streams have energy with water and those ley lines and all that stuff going on. I remember going back up the path a bit as if I was going to run home and tell my grandmother. And then I turned around and thought, no, I'll just go back to the lake, and I was going to walk over to the lake. So I came back down the path, and as far as I know then, everything felt fine. When I crossed the path to where you could see from the road, you could still see the railroad tracks in the distance, there was no train on it. There should have been a train, because they go very slow. They go, doo, choo, choo, choo. They don't go fast, like, because they're in a town. So I should have still been able to see and hear a train going, but I remember when it made the corner, I didn't hear the train anymore, which may make you think it stopped at a crossing or something, but you still didn't hear that steam sound, which was loud. I didn't realize how loud those sounds are until you see, like, an old movie. Maybe they might have one that's in reenactment in the 1920s.
Yeah, very loud.
I don't think they're in the 1980s or 90s anymore, those trains, but they do make a lot of noise. So I did feel a feeling something's fishy, and that's what made me turn around. Now, maybe perhaps when I turned around to run up back to the path, maybe I went back into my reality or dimensional space.
Yes.
And it could only be a little jump. According to the space people, when I've asked them these questions, because I've seen lots of anomalies that shouldn't be, like even dinosaurs, so it's kind of strange, or nature kingdom too. So there is an effect that occurs, something with the energy, probably within our own aura as well, or soul, let's say, or spirit, has a frequency, and perhaps we jump the crew upstairs calls it the flux. There's a fluctuation that can occur, and we can move through it in and out of them. And sometimes people have moved in and perhaps never came back, and that might be when people just disappear. And they might have moved into the 1800s and never came back. It might explain the strange sightings
with
strange clothes from another time.
Yes.
You know.
We've seen it in films where they've gone to another destination and come back again.
Yes.
Did you feel any effects from that?
No. No, I didn't. But I remember being excited to tell my father about it that night. And before he even died, you know, he died in 1985, but we used to talk about all these strange things anyway. This is part of our thing when stuff would happen. Say, well, I saw when I was about 17, I finally saw the creature that's in our lake, and it looks like a Loch Ness creature. But I had known as a child it was always there. There was something there, and I used to tell my father, "There's something in the lake. I feel it. I sense it, but I don't. I've never seen it." And I always used to think, one day I'll dive in the water and I'll see a baby, one of these little mixed plesiosaur mammal things, whatever they're not really plesiosaurs. And years go by, many years, probably about 20 years old or so. I'd already seen the creature, but years go by, my father was in town, and he had picked up a map from town in Mayapack, New York, and he said, I still have this map today. He says, look at the history of Lake Mayapack. And when I read it, it said, Lake Mahopac, the Algonquin Indian word meaning Lake of the Great Serpent. So that's what Mahopac means, Lake of the Great Serpent.
Oh, yes.
And it's a lake that has a bottomless area, so there's lots of caves. So this creature could exist, and they've seen it. Other probably have seen it. The natives obviously knew about it. They named it that because I spoke to Native Americans. I asked them, or let's say Native children, why they would name a lake Great Serpent or Great Turtle or Great Spirit. And they said if it exists, they would name it after, say, the Great Turtle or the Great Snake or the Great Lizard or the Great Something. If they believe Great Spirit touched the lake, they would say maybe Lake of the Great Spirit. You know, it might be like that. But I said, so what about Serpent? They said, well, that's unusual because it would not be a snake or a lizard. So it must be something that resembles the both to come up with just Serpent. And interesting. Well, the thing I saw was in the lake in the wintertime.
Very interesting when something like that happens to you. And has it happened before that as well, Mark?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't observe.
Has it happened before or numerous times? When things of the Mandela effect.
Oh, you mean like ancient times as well?
Yes.
It probably always occurred because people have seen, like, the green children in England, I think it was, centuries ago. There was something about that, the green children that they found from a cave.
Oh, yeah.
And they said they came from another place.
As well.
Other people have been in England, walked the streets, let's say near Bath or someplace, and they would get out of their hotel or whatever they were, like wherever they were staying, and they turned right, went up a hill, maybe turned a corner to get to the local shops. And when they got to the corner to turn, there was no local shops. There was something from the either early or mid 1800s with horses and carts and people dressed in long dresses with hats and
yes.
Canes. And it was two people that had this experience. It was back in probably the 70s. I read about it a long time ago. And they both were shocked. They thought maybe this was some kind of a town that they were reenacting things. And it wasn't, because people started looking at them. And they decided, let's go back the way we came. And when they went back the way they came, they turned back to the corner where they knew their hotel or let's say the house or what they were staying in, like a Bed Bath breakfast house or something, and they went back,
yeah.
And then they saw the cars on the street. When they had gone up there, there was no cars. Now they went, okay, let's try this again. They went back up, and now it was modern for them. The cars were there. So they had stepped into a time warp, time frequency, and it can occur. According to the beings I know and the crew and the other beings and teachers, it can occur when we have ley line effects with energy frequencies. There's a flux that occurs also with our own spirit or soul and how we think and how our energy is at that time. So that's why the space people are our friends up there and the other masters and teachers and angels as well speak about keeping our thoughts on the Most High, on our beloved, let's say the Creator, the beloved, and keeping our
yes.
thoughts clear, and so that we are protected from these kind of experiences or these little fluxes that can take us someplace. But they always say, if we ever find that happens, we walk somewhere, we start hearing sounds that are not from our time, to stop, focus, and go backwards. Go either turn around and walk back the way you came, or just walk backwards the way you came. To reconnect to your frequency, because it can happen. And with our according with the crew and the space friends who are speaking through as well, that this can occur with this new energy that's coming to this galaxy through our intergalactic areas, that the frequencies are getting finer. So that means these these windows can open a little bit with dimensional parallel fluxes. So we can actually go through some of these a little bit and have an experience like with the train, or see a dinosaur, which has happened to people too in the West and in the Texas areas. They've seen actual, they thought were small pterodactyls or like 30-foot diameter wingspans or something like that. Not 30, but 15-foot diameter or so wingspans of some of these pterodons, and they're flying their own plane.
That must be amazing.
And they see these things hovering or circling, and first they thought they were planes, but when they got closer, they were not. They were from the dinosaur times. So people still think there's some out there living in the West. Maybe there are. I wouldn't be surprised. They could. And yet also in Texas area, some people had seen what they thought was a young or small tyrannosaur, tiny dinosaurs about 5 foot tall running on their hind legs, resembling like allosaurs or little dinosaurs. So is this a new species, or is this something that's been time warped to come through, or something the, let's say, the that have been genetically created somewhere and got loose? Who knows?
Could you also speak, Mark, to the, you know, some of the people have brought up the idea of CERN, not on, online, but just, is CERN creating issues? And I think the ETs had an opinion about that as well, in terms of the Mandela effect.
Oh, right.
You know, Hadron Colliders and things of that nature.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they said, they brought this up when Phyllis and I were talking about it, and they said, well, man has been experimenting for a long time on the planet with different things, from even Tesla times, in the 1800s, and you know, Philadelphia experiment, things like that. And now they have the CERN, and not to mention also experimenting with nuclear bombs and things like that from the 1940s. These created rifts. They can create little time rifts that can occur by, they call again, fluxes or frequency flux, which can off-balance certain things. So they're the beings that we speak about, like, say, the different alliance groups, the space confederations that are out in deep space, as well as the Ashtar and his crews, they work to help to try to balance these things from occurring. They will shut off bombs from exploding or go over a nuclear facility and stop them from launching. They've done that. They've said that they've tried to repair some of these effects that can occur through maybe the CERN. They don't like that man is experimenting with these things. They said man has absolutely no knowledge of what he's really doing with these giant colliders they're creating. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
true.
Atomically, they don't understand. And they said they can create such chain effects, like the nuclear atomic bombs could create chain effects, and that's why they would warn the people in the late 40s, early 50s when they came here to the military groups. So, yeah, they said that these things can create little warps, little openings, and little frequency effects, which could actually maybe have a bleed-through of some of the other frequencies and parallels that are nearby us, exactly near us, because we're here where we are now. Like, we're sitting in New York, you're sitting in England, people are sitting in different areas of the world, and our whole soul, or let's say our over-self and our soul, is here. In the same spot, even though it's a different dimensional space. So when they say we're here now, they mean be here now. And I just want people to know also that also with all this, they've mentioned the beings, that nothing major bad will happen in any way. Like the world isn't going to blow up, or the world's not going to tip over. We're not going to be like suddenly in the 1800s or suddenly jump to 2033 in the frequency. It's just that these are like energy shifts in a sense of little frequencies that can bring in effects, they said, this is what they said, of our own parallel existence of our own selves on these different frequencies and dimensional spaces where we are as frequency. So we might pick up a thought like with the Mandela effect, where some people said they remember McDonald's, McDonald's, food, or Mac, Big Mac. And then today they call it McDonald's, McDonald's.
Strange enough. how they change things. Now,
yeah.
I just want to take a phone call because we're having a few phone calls at the moment. This is a 2525 number. Hello, who's there? Hello?
Yes, hello.
Oh, hi.
Hello, speaking.
Hi, it's Mar Benham
Mar.
And Michael McNabb.
Hi, Michael and Mar.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Hi, fine.
We're fine. Would you like to ask Mark a question?
Yes, I would. Mark, you've explained to all of us that you were a walk-in, and we're all so grateful for your sacrifice. We thank you for that. My question is, one, what made you want to become a walk-in? Was there a precipitating factor in your decision? Two, as a walk-in, what is your primary goal and mission here on Earth? And three, what, if anything, would you do differently if you were to become a walk-in over again? Thank you, Mark.
Well, Major, thanks, Mark. And Mike, thank you. What made me come here originally as what I am, as a walk-in and conscious from my place where I came from, is to actually get my oversoul's, my soulmate, let's say, who is Phyllis in this lifetime. And she's always been with me in space. We are connected like that. So she had been on Earth for a while, coming back and forth, like everyone does, through reincarnating effects, and it was time for her to come back, and she had to go through a lot of challenges, a lot of stuff. Usually we call it end time karma. You go through so much stuff that people can't believe what you went through. It's like the worst of the worst, and you still made it through. And so that's kind of what happens. A lot of challenges occur when a soul chooses to try to finish up what they got and what they're doing here, and then they can, you know, and forgive everyone that's ever done anything bad to them, no matter what it was. Every kind of horrible thing we can think of, we have to forgive it all and just realize we're all children. And that's what Christ meant when he said, you know, forgive them, for they don't know what they do, because he meant they're all children. No matter how old we think we are on the planet, we're kids compared to the omniverse of all that is. And your total over part, your total self, is beyond this. So it's like the major adult who knows what's going on with everything. So we are the kids. We're the aspect of that over part. So we think we know things, but we don't know anything, and none of us. And I'm only bringing back the information I feel to remember to bring back. I can only be allowed to bring back. Even when I'm on the ship, I ask them, can I bring this back? And they say, yeah, or they'll say, no, and I'll not recall anything we talked about. But when I'm back out there, I remember clearly, come back, and I have faded memories of what we spoke about. So they would say, can't speak about that now, not ready for this type of stuff, no. So the things I'm not allowed to speak about are some things that seemed strange, maybe, to people from the 1970s, no one understood. So now
so I think I want to jump in and say it's a dual mission. You came to get me, and they also realized, well, they had boots on the ground, that it would be a momentous time for him to be here as all of these transitions are going on, and to bring in this new type of information and this reality and this clear vision of where he actually comes from, which I don't think too many people possess. And you know, I've been dealing with Mark speaking like this for, you know, over... Okay. close to 40 years, and it's actually extraordinary, the information that he brings in and the ability for him to see into these finer dimensions. And, you know, and it's time for people, you know, to start to wake up. And what were you saying earlier today about, you know, your treasures in heaven, seek your treasures in heaven?
Yes.
What was that, Mark?
It was like what Christ spoke of when he said to create your treasures in heaven, not on earth. Like, don't build up all the things that we think that are so important here, because what you put your heart on, what you believe in your heart as your treasure, is what your heart will go to in your mind. If we make Creator our beloved and our treasure, or Christ and Mary and everyone on the high realms, our angels and everyone, the Creator is our highest treasure. If we seek that treasure the most within, and that's the most important, nothing on the earth will surpass, will be the equivalent of anything that we think of in that way. When you meet a master on the earth, let's say any masters we've heard of, you know, or a saint visits you and dematerializes, that's an incredible treasure. But if we meet with Creator in our heart. That's the ultimate treasure. All you need and want, anything you've ever desired, is there waiting in any way that you feel we've lost or didn't have a chance to experience on planet Earth as a physical. You have every experience ever been to experience anyway on the highest realms. So if we make money or land or whatever on planet Earth our big treasure, our goal, we're blocking Creator. So what we do is ask for the wisdom and the understanding to be one with Creator and to be guided on our path and do what's best to help people. Do good, speak good words. What we speak creates our future on planet, physical as we're walking. So the more negative we are, the more negative comes towards us. You know, it's like attracts like, is really true, it does happen. But if we speak only positive, or if we speak good things about people and their intentions, and we speak on things that we want or to work with or have to help others, you'll find that those things will come towards us faster. Even money, you know, people need money. Money's an energy here, so it's not something negative. So donations or people do things like that for tithing to churches and to people. All these are good balances. So treasures in heaven or the Creator or the realms of the Creator are all those things, any kind of treasures and love and light you could think of. And usually it's the oneness and knowledge of all that is. That's the ultimate treasure, because Creator will gift you with everything you ask for. Knock, that whole thing is knocking, the door will open, seek and you'll find, ask and you'll be given. But trust totally in Creator. Know who's there. Know that Yehoshua is who he is. All those beings and the teachers and Blessed Mother, she is who she is. These are the actual aspects the Mother, Father, Creator aspects of masculine and feminine. And it is the time for feminine rising. So we're going to see a lot of disruption with the male going on planet Earth right now. It's like war, because they bring a lot of that energy. But the feminine has to come through to balance it now, because it's been over the wrong direction of too much male, too much power, too much, you know, conquering. Too much yang. We need a little yin blending in again. And we teach some things from the spaceship where I brought that information in. We call it for now the activation. The ET, we call it the seed atom activation. And that actually brings in the balancing to help with the physical body here and the energy coming in to where you meet and talk with or link up with your oversoul or higher selves and actually meet with them and blend with them. And that's when people can have knowledge that they didn't understand or know before, and suddenly they have knowledge, which goes back into that Mandela effect with the space beings. When they said, when you connect and you have these experiences with your own overpart, your own overself, you might have memories of different things that you've never experienced on planet Earth, yet when you hear about it, you say, that's familiar. I know about that. Yet you try to find a way you experience it, and you can't find it on the physical planet right now. In your past, you say, I didn't experience it here. You could have experienced it when you were out of body or in a parallel, which is out of body travel or soul travel, or Ekankar, as they call it in different places, but soul travel is the same thing. So people learn different things and experience it as real, because soul travel is super real. It's beyond this planet. It's beyond, remember, this is the illusion here. It actually is an opposite of the frequency dimensional spaces. So when what's here is opposite from what's on the good side. So a lot of times negative things are praised here, whereas good things are made fun of, you know, good energy of things. So it's kind of strange, but it is the Maya illusion, it really is. And that's why that mix of frequency can occur with, they're calling it the Mandela effect. Other people would call windows opening or frequency opening or doorways opening.
Yeah,
like from other dimensional states. And I don't know if I answered your question. I just realized, I probably, if I was given the opportunity again to come back, I say yes, I will. I do. I think so. If I was going to give the same information to do this again.
By yourself that time.
No, if we had to come back, I think we would, if it meant helping a lot. But in reality, I want to leave and not come back. I want to be on the other side working and visit here the friends and people we might have met who are still here.
We'll visit.
Who might come back. You know,
a
lot of people we know will come back to help. But I really, it is such a shock here for me to be here. But I'm used to it now, but I'm still, I can't wait to get out and go home again. But we came to do something. We all have all souls, all chosen, all souls who chose to come into planet Earth or on planet Earth are very brave, strong, spiritual beings, very, very, like soldiers almost in a sense, but spiritual.
Yeah.
And people say, I always felt I had a mission, or I had a reason to be here, or what's my reason to be here? And sometimes the reason is within your heart, what it is that you can have many reasons. A person might be a nurse or a doctor and then change from that and become working with animals or something. They're just totally opposite of what they thought they were wanting. Or they might say they were studying to be a lawyer, which they thought would help, and then they decide to become something else totally. And all these things are probably meant to happen for them, for their past, trying to get through certain things in their past lifetimes and what they wanted to come in as a challenge. But there's always something on the good, generous part, that somewhere that the soul longs for help in some way. Maybe it wants to help children, or wants to help animals, wants to show the world through photography to the other people on planet Earth who never get to these towns or places in other parts of the world. And they want to share that frequency or that energy. So everybody kind of has their own little mission, whether they're a writer or they want to be an artist or they want to do something.
Or be a great mother
mother.
Spectacular father.
Exactly. I've known people that just said, I want to have children, and that's what I feel. I'm supposed to have these children. Well, that's probably true, because how else is the little soul going to get here to come and experience? They're choosing the people they want to come through, who they've known from their other times. Like the mother's the mother this time, but the mother might have been the daughter or the son the last time to the child they have today, or the grandpa or grandmother. And there was an old story, it's not that old, it was probably in the 1980s, where an older man, grandpa, was dying, and he was in Alaska, and the grandson was there taking care of him, too, with his mom, and he was dying, but grandpa used to take him out as a little boy, 5 years old or so, take him to the waters and show him the seals and the animals and things. So when he passes on, the grandson gets married, and he has his son. And as the little boy gets old enough to speak, he took him to some place on the water, and he says, remember when I used to take you here and we used to talk about these things? And he looked down and he says, Grandpa? And he says, he remembered. He was the grandpa. Now he's his own grandson, actually. It's like a funny great-grandson. So, but then as the child gets older, they tend to forget what they said and not remember. After about 5 or 7 years, it's usually around the 7 years to 8 years, the soul starts to get locked into their life here now, and their memories start to fade. So to parents out there who have little children, when they start speaking, listen to them and listen to what they're saying. They might sometimes say, I remember this or I remember that. And there was that little baby that was born. Again, another story I told once was true. And a little girl went into the bedroom. The parents overheard the little girl telling her little brother in the crib. She's about 5. And she says, tell me about heaven. I'm starting to forget. Remind me about God and heaven, because I'm starting to forget. So she was asking her little baby brother to remind her. And now don't forget, children are telepathic. And can understand each other in that way. And babies are telepathic. And sometimes I talk to babies with telepathy, and the baby actually responds with turning around to look and saying, who's that talking to me in my mind, And they see it, and they feel it. So the little soul who's in there can't speak properly yet, because they have to relearn this physical body. Their mind is as clear as telepathically, and they understand. They start to learn that way too, the way the family's working. And I was at an office last week or so, and a lady was there with a little baby girl, and she brought the little baby in the carriage. She seemed to come near me anyway, so she was waiting with the little girl in her carriage. She's playing with her, and the little girl watching the mother looking at her cell phone, and obviously the mother's looking at photographs, but the baby can't see them, and she starts going, reaching out, like, hey, let me see that, And I'm watching this baby, the mother's not showing it. But here's what the baby was saying in Gaga Goo Goo talk. I could understand her saying, let me see the pictures. That's what I heard the baby saying in baby talk, which to me is like reverse speech anyway, on the other thing, it's another subject. So I heard the baby saying something like this. I'll try to mimic it. She said, let me see, let me see, that teacher. That's how I heard her talking. But I heard her saying clearly telepathically to me, let me see the pictures. So I telepathically said to her, don't worry, Mommy will show you that in a second. She's just looking at something. And then the baby put her hands down and just sat there looking, waiting. And then the mother suddenly turns a little bit and starts tapping on the phone, and she's getting a cartoon or something for her to watch. And since she shows her the phone and the baby's giggling and laughing, now she's watching a little cartoon. But the baby kept looking over to me. Even the whole time she was there, she would look over to me to make sure I was watching, and she'd start laughing. If I looked away, she was like, hey, what are you doing? I'd look back, and she'd laugh. So I told Phyllis that today I heard the baby saying these things, even though outspeak the words coming out of her little baby mouth, her mother didn't hear it. But her mother telepathically understood intuitively and then did show her the pictures later as she tapped in. So I find this interesting. So we watch babies, and I'm not around babies enough to see this, but when I'm near them, I try to hear, listen for them. So this is fascinating stuff. So when I don't know, Mart, if I even answered your question about coming in, my memory was where I came from and directly from space where we were in ships and coming here to help, talking with teachers and, the councils. I recall it all clearly, thinking that everybody does this when I got here, and explaining to my parents at 4 years old how where I come from, and I'm not from here, I'm from space, and had information that my father didn't. He said, no way I should know that info about the stars, and telling them about the hospital and everything.
But you also told them they weren't your parents.
I also said, you're not my parents, you're actually my people I've met and my friend. I told my father I know him from space, and I told my father that I knew my mother from an ancient time visiting here on Earth when everything went wrong. That would be called Atlantis in those days, but I had only those words to say. The world came down, a lot of things happened, the world went crazy, and things were blowing up. And that would have been the Atlantean times when things did go wrong.
Toward the end, right?
Yeah, over 50,000 more years ago. But that's not the first Atlantis. The other one is Atlan, 250 million years ago, where our space colonies were here. That was a different place and different time. But that's the original memory people had of the Atlantis they speak about, is the ancient Atlant from space, the space colonies. And those people came, and they got here. And so they reincarnate back, and they become the people that come 50 million years later or so as humans. They keep coming back. So they had a memory of some other time and the ancient stories. But then they had the Atlantis, which was a progressive group of people that were here at that time too. And they had ships that could go on the sea very well and everything. So that would be the floods and things that happened later. So all those floods that people remember happened over different times. It's always an ancient flips and things that occurred. So I remember coming in for all that information to help in some way besides to locate my soulmate, which I understood as I got a little older because I had visions and I had out of bodies all the time with Phyllis's oversoul.
Oh.
And I realized these were all connections as time went on. Then I got older, I had visions, total 3D. Sorry, someone was calling our phone. Sorry about that. 3D visions of meeting Phyllis in 1976 in my car in Florida, and not physically meeting Phyllis until 1978, which then became a deja vu after we were traveling to visit Betty Hill up in New Hampshire. The whole vision I had in 76 became a reality in 78 as a deja vu, true, you know, reality, I guess you'd say, where a deja vu comes true.
Lucid deja vu.
So these things, we're given these signs, too, for people to understand that when we have deja vus, that means we're on the right path. Sometimes we have a strange deja vu, could be a negative deja vu, and that means that could be we're going towards a different path, and we've got to be careful. And when that deja vu vibe starts coming on, and if it's a negative vibe, and it brings back a negative deja vu from years ago, or a dream state where it became a deja vu, that's a warning for us. So we have good warnings and we have good happenings, and sometimes we have a warning that can also look like a deja vu to us, a vision. Listen to them. Because everything is fluid here. They always talk about the fluctuation of energy, and we speak on fluctuating frequencies too that the space crews talk about. I don't know. I'm just going on, Mara.
Oh, wonderful, Mark. Thank you so much. I'm learning so much, and you answered my question. Absolutely. Thank you, Mark.
Okay, Mark. Thank you, and God bless you and Mike.
Okay.
God bless you too.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Right, we've got another phone call. It's a 0212 number. Come on. Hello? Hello? 0212?
Stuart?
Hello?
What's that, Mark?
Who was that?
I don't know.
Oh, they've gone off now.
Yeah, stayed too long.
Never mind.
Okay.
That's fine.
We go into so many different things. I don't know.
You know, yes, we're
I'm sure she, you answered all the questions then. If the phone call comes back again, Mark,
yeah.
I will tell you.
Okay.
You know, you were also going to touch, I think, today on, like, people's guardian angels and just angels in general working with the higher ET.
Yes, that's true. Angels.
Yeah, Nature Kingdom are like a whole show by themselves when you think about how much they are, who they are, and what they do. But the nature spirits are the angelic realm, as people call the angelic realm, or our guardian angels and things. They're not things. Our guardian angels and the archangels, they all are originally a part and aspect, all total of the nature kingdom of the elemental kingdom, which works with all elements and all things on the physical densities as well, and other densities where we have nature, grass, trees, anything like that. So I've had physical encounters with fairies in our apartment. Phyllis has seen them too. We have amazing beings and friends. I've actually had the luxury, I guess, I don't even know what to call this, the honor of meeting Pan up in the fields of upstate New York in the 1970s when he came to me a couple times. He's like over 20 feet tall, so he's a huge being. But Pan explained to me back then that he might resemble this being, that he takes on this form on the planet Earth as this half deer body or half, they call it a goat, but it's really not. He told me it's not really a goat. It's more like a goat-like deer, like a elk. And he might have these little horns, little tiny horns that he shows, or different type of horn. It's only for the Nature Kingdom to accept and understand him better, because they don't understand the tiny Nature Kingdom fairies and elves and gnomes, don't understand the angelic quality of what the angel is. When they see an angelic being, they feel it's advanced, but they don't understand it's really like them. They will become like that too someday. The older ones, the older spirits, like of the trees, the Deva, Nature Kingdom, some of the sylphs, they understand the angels. They understand the angel of the field, the angel of the mountain, guardian angels, they understand. Guardian angels become our angels. Their friends become friends first. We're friends on the other side, as soul. And our angels, or let's say the Nature Kingdom, they don't have soul like we do as a being. They are made of a different substance. And they've always said, we are a different substance. We are not what you call soul. And they are in alignment with Creator, in understanding of what their job is, what they do. And as they come to a planet that's a physical planet, like a 3D density like Earth, and I'll have to get into the energy someday, but we train on the other side, that just because it says 3D Earth does not mean you're on the third dimension. We're just meaning three-dimensional space, as you solid ground or a truck or a table. The third-dimensional space frequency is higher than here. We would be considered on the first-dimensional space, the physical that we're in now. So when we speak of third, fourth, second, second would be spirit dimensional space when people leave their body or die. Third would be a lower etheric levels, and there's still a heaven realm area where the souls live, or when you're out of, when you've left this physical density. And then you get the fourth frequencies, five and six, and goes up to seven. And from that point, that's around the planet Earth. And beyond that is the cosmic levels, which go beyond seven. They go to 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and beyond 13, 14. They keep going. But most people living on a physical planet will not know about those levels of frequency when they keep coming back and forth to reincarnate or come back and forth to the planet they're visiting or around at the time. And so they are in the seven levels around the planet physical, or the physical densities, or the dimensional spaces around the physical planets. All the planets have their own physical densities like that too, that are in our dimensional space here. So to get beyond the seven planes around a planet, you have to purify your thoughts, your whole mind and everything, and work on cosmic thought with Creator, work on those levels. So that's when you see the masters and the teachers come by, and they train people on those dimensional spaces. Then you get beyond those levels when you ask for that. You have to also be aware that you can ask for things you need from those higher frequencies. So if you're on a seventh, eighth, you're on a sixth and seventh plane with some master teachers, let's say, or Yehoshua and the angels, and you're in a blissful state, it's beautiful. If you start saying, isn't there more than here? Is there other places to go to visit, let's say, out further in space, in our solar system here, beyond? But when you start acting like the curious soul, because we're all curious anyway, they will take you on beyond those levels. And if you ask about space on the sixth to fifth level of dimensional space and fourth as well, you'll be taken to the training spaceships around the planet on this density here, around physicals and higher levels.
But I think that's really an important point, Mark, to for people to realize that you don't make an assumption that you're going to be given all knowledge just because you transition and you go to the other side.
Oh, right, right. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, like unless you ask, you will not be shown. The teachers, the angels, the masters, or the people who are there as teachers and friends on the other side when we leave or go out of body or pass on from this level, people usually join up with their friends and family on the other side. And they end up living in towns and places similar to what they were used to. And sometimes they don't think beyond that area. They're just having a blissful time. And so they have to remember to ask for these things. And that's part of my job. Excuse me. Part of my job here is to make people aware that there's more beyond what they think, that there's more beyond here, that you can break the karmic links and ties that are tying you to the planet densities that are physical, even not just this galaxy, other galaxies. And there's more to explore beyond that. Hold a second.
Yeah. Oh, Mark's going off to get a cough drop. He's throwing
That's fine.
I had to throw that in there because that was a question in my mind. I think, you know, many years ago I used to think, oh, well, once you cross over, all knowledge is known. You know, you get everything just handed to you in a complete illumination, and then when you come back for another incarnation, you're clouded again. But no, that's really not the way it works. And so when you're crossing over and you get to the other side, it's critical to how far you've how curious you've become in this dimension, and how much you've learned in this dimension is critical to how far you go in the next dimension, and whether you're going to be content. You know, I think it boils down to birds of a feather flock together, even in the next levels over. So
yes, it does. Yeah. Sorry about that, everybody. Sorry.
So I think that maybe you can speak to that.
About the birds of a feather.
Souls of a feather flock together.
I think we ran off topic a long time ago. I don't even, Nature Kingdom, I forgot about them. Yeah, how we think creates our realities, just like here on planet Earth. That's why people who you hang with, you are kind of, like they always say, well, those you hang with, you are judged by, you know. And you might be an innocent person, but other people might be, you know, guilty of other things that we don't know about. So on the other side, how we think will bring us to the reality that we go to. and you will be finding, will be hanging around with people who have similar belief systems or might not. Sometimes you're the family members or people you've known throughout life. And you still might have other belief systems in your mind, but you don't think about them. You're hanging out with your family and friends. It's when they start going to the colleges or the places that look like campuses that are just teaching center places you can go. And on the
can
other side...
Can I just ask you a question, Mark?
Yeah, yeah.
Kim has just come in the chat room. She said, can we all ask to have a walk-in come into our body? Let's say if we are in pain or do not want to be on the earth anymore.
Wow, Kimla, that's a that's heavy.
That's heavy.
Can we all ask to have a walk-in come into our body? Let's say if we are in pain or do not want to be on earth anymore.
Well, that would be like you're saying, I want to be out of here and I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
And unless it's been set up already, that this had happened in some other way, a person who might come towards that soul, I don't know. The way it was set up for me was most walk-ins have to come to a body. If they've never had karma here or had a way of being here before, that's the only way we get in. Because I had walked on the planet before and worked here from space.
Yes.
On the etheric level, yeah.
I was never born here. So I didn't really have a connection through a karmic link of birth, but they said because I had walked on planet, I had some energy here. In other words, that's like you have a bank account. You have a bank account of energy. So you could draw some of that energy on your bank account. People that keep coming back and back have a lot of energy they're working through and working past karmic things. So you don't want to be the soul.
But that was the point, Mark. You didn't have karma here.
Yeah.
So you had. That's why you had to
take
it.
What a discard body, they call them. If a person is like a person we know, Robert Young, he's a walk-in. The body he took over was in a car wreck, and that soul in the car left. He was given that opportunity then to come in. He's probably listening today. And there's very few true walk-ins, because a person is a psychic, might say they think they are, but the way it really works is you have the memory you know, and you come with that memory. You're not taking over someone else's memory exactly. You just, if a person comes in, let's say, through a car accident or through a drowning, let's say, and they take over the body after it drowns, and then they bring it back to life, you know, they pump it, but the body is still dead, the person, soul left, and then another suddenly wakes up, and that's somebody else there, another soul, and that usually that soul might not totally recall everybody in the family coming towards the person. They might have glimpses of memory from the memory that's still in the field of this energy field of the body. So they might say, well, that's the person, that was the mother, that's my supposed to be my sister, but they have no feeling towards them. It's like they don't know them. They just are meeting them now for the first time. That has happened to some people. I don't know a lot about all the different types of people that have walked in different accidents like this in different ways. I just knew the soul left me, the body I took over, and said it was baby was going to be born dead. It was a stillborn, and it was 8 months. It was going to be born dead. I jumped in, and everything came back on. All the lights and the creator jumped the energy. So I would say no. You don't give up on your karma. You came in to do something. Try not to go for anything that says suicide or any kind of thing of like I can't take it anymore, because in truth we came in with these things to learn or study from. And sometimes when it gets to the point where the person can't take it anymore, it's pretty soon that the light will show. And if they kill themselves in any way or take pills or try to kill themselves and they still don't do it and they get wakened by, and you know, doctors get them on time, these are signs and warnings that you were a person was given the help. Because we've known people who a person that killed themselves with pills, but they're not here anymore, and we pray for them, because no matter what the pain we chose to come in with or whatever we chose on this planet at this time, we have to try to keep our thoughts on Creator. I know it's hard when people don't believe there's a God or something, if they're in so much pain and depression, but they have to give Christ a chance. Give Christ a chance. Give him a chance to, and Mary and everyone and God and Creator, to come to them, give them hope, or go speak to people before you think of thoughts like that. And you can't ask for a person to just come walk into your body. That's kind of not what they normally would do. It's like, I'm done here. I want to get out. Anyone want to come in and walk in? You know, and it just doesn't happen that way. A person's going to have to either drop from a drown in the ocean or die in a car wreck, or something has to happen for that soul to be jarred out, for that life stream to end. And then you don't know if someone's going to take it over or not. So we can't wish for that. I, as far as I know, and what we've understood, walk-ins are very strangely rare. Even Ruth Montgomery Winfield and I met her back in 1980. She told us how rare they are, that she realized they are rare. And they usually come in to help in some way. There's always something they're trying to do, or get a book out. They're trying to help in some way. And Robert Young, he too helps in many ways, and his wife. So we have a reason we're here at this time. And this is a very amazing time, which is an awakening that's occurring around the whole planet, and the solar system as well is awakening up to the frequencies. But their space people are calling it the third awakening. And believe it or not, funny the thing, the second awakening was the Renaissance times, when all this energy came in to awaken people and having visions. They were having amazing visions. And so much was occurring. And we had inventions occur. And still, Tesla, he was from Venus. He came in to help with that. He was not a walk-in, but he came in to help with that, to bring in this energy and to bring in the new thought, new way of thinking. So this is, Kimla, we can't
run out of time, unfortunately.
Ran out of time.
Oh, no, again.
It always goes so quickly. Always.
But it'll be online on your full show. People can hear it, the full show.
Yes.
We think, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Happened the last time. Maybe.
Anyway, thank you so much. It will be online, the full show. Yes, it always is. Always is. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for
asking. Thank you, Phyllis, as well, for always for being with him as well on Fridays.
Bob, next time we'll talk about the angels and the nature kingdom.
Yeah,
that's a whole book.
The angels next time.
Yeah, they're amazing.
And you know, also he does have a website I built for him called Fairy Reality, where there's a lot of illustrations and stories personal stories of his experiences. It's like everything with the elemental kingdom has just always occurred. Alongside all the extraterrestrial things, because it's just kind of the same idea of interdimensional activity, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I built the other website, just to kind of hold that.
Oh, lovely. I'll have to look that myself as well now. Thank you for that. And can you just let everybody else know where they can get in touch with you, Mark?
Okay, everybody. You can find us and email us at intergalacticmission.com. Intergalacticmission.
Or go on Facebook for Mark Brinkerhoff on Facebook, and follow Mark on Facebook. And you can always get to the website from the Facebook in the About section.
Yes, you can,
yes.
Yeah, that's true as well.
Thank you so much, Bob,
for having us.
Anyway, thank you so much. As always, thank you as well for coming on the show.
Oh, we love you. We love your show. And we're always here for you. And there's always something that's telling us something under new.
You're very beautiful people, you two. Thank you for the phone call, and thank you for people in the chat room tonight as well. It's so nice. Next Wednesday, it's a good friend of mine, Paul Sinclair, who just got his book out. So he's on the show next Wednesday. And then next Friday, Jake Cooper, he's from New York. He's a psychic medium.
Oh, what's the name?
Jake Cooper. Jake. J-A-K-E.
Jake.
Cooper.
Oh, okay.
Cooper. I think he works for Goldilocks Productions.
Ooh, cool.
What does he work for?
Oh, he has predictions?
Goldilocks Productions.
Oh, excellent.
Goldilocks Productions. He's on Facebook, he's Jake, anyway, so you can always look him up.
All right. I think I've heard of him. I think I know.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
We'll look him up.
Yeah, that'd be great. Anyway, enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. You do the same.
Yes, you too.
Take care. I love you both.
Love you.
Love you, bro.
Okay.
We love you, and we're praying for you for when you go in.
Oh, beautiful.
Feel better.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.